The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening on America's Web Radio. Now, last week we had a little discussion, and I got into it a little bit about phobias. Now, phobias are kind of widespread, and basically the definition of a phobia is an irrational fear. You know, if you're afraid of something that you shouldn't be afraid of, then that's an irrational fear. People are afraid. There's phobias. People are afraid of bananas. People are afraid of spiders. People are afraid of heights. And some of these are justified in some way. And some of them just go beyond justification. Like some people run screaming out of the room if they see a picture of a spider on a TV. You know, that's just, I mean, it can get that deep and that traumatic. And one of the phobias that I became aware of a few weeks ago was actually the phrase was coined, I think, back in the 80s. Hoplophobia. Now, hoplophobia is the irrational fear of guns or weapons.
Hoplophobia?
Hoplophobia. The irrational fear of guns. There are people who will see a gun and freak out, get anxious, get nauseous, have trouble breathing just from the mere sight of a gun.
Wow.
That's why it's an irrational fear.
Yes.
You know, and there are probably people who are afraid of power tools or screwdrivers or whatever, you know. Phobias cover a huge variety of areas.
Hopophobia?
Hoplophobia.
Hoplophobia.
H-O-P-L-O phobia.
Hoplophobia.
That's right.
Not the fear of beer.
What? No.
Right. or hopping.
No. It's the fear of guns.
I'm going to have to look that word up. I want to know where its derivatives are.
Phobia is fear.
Well, I know what phobia is, but I want to know where the
I think hoplo is weapon or something like that.
It must
like
be. That's what I want to know, what that's a
you
derivative.
Can, yeah, you
it
can,
must be a derivative.
It's got Latin
some type
roots,
of
I'm sure, but you know.
Oh, all the words do.
But it's crazy because there are people who are that afraid to where they freak out, call the police. There was, like I said, I used this story last week, but I'm going to say it again. There was a lady in a shopping center called the police on a guy who drove into the shopping center and parked with his Jeep because she called the police and said he had an assault rifle strapped to his hood. And you're going, oh my God, well, that is kind of fearful.
And it was a jack.
It was a jack, yeah, it was a jack. It was a high lift jack for a 4x4 Jeep. And she was in such a panic, was so afraid that she called the police because she obviously had no idea what a rifle looks like.
No.
So she called the police, and police came, and she pointed, there it is, he's got a rifle on his hood. The police took one look and just, you know, shook his head and had to, that's not a rifle, that's a jack. It looks like a rifle.
They should have charged her.
Yeah.
They should have charged her
for having the police come out.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. These
Especially
people need to learn a lesson.
She wasn't being threatened. He didn't have it in his
right.
arm pointing it at people.
Yeah, right, and who cares if it was a gun? I mean, he probably would have saved that idiot's life had a real criminal
Had it become necessary. Yeah, exactly. But that's
but
the kind
fact
of thing.
That she called the these are the examples that need to be set.
Yeah.
She should have been prosecuted 100%.
Well, yeah, apparently they questioned her a little bit, and when the guy came out, he came out, and he said, and they were all standing around his car. He's like, what's going on?
He's
like,
what are you doing?
This lady thought you had an assault rifle on your hood. He goes, assault rifle? What? Huh? And he's looking to see if somebody laid a gun on his hood or something. Was your jack.
I would laugh so hard at her.
I would have pointed at her and laughed so hard.
That's what I'm saying. I would have pointed at her and laughed my head off, and then I would have gone over and said, listen, you need help.
Yes. Oh,
you
well, that's
need help.
Yeah. That's something that there are ways to get over phobias.
Yes, there are. There really are.
Talk to your friends, especially friends who already have guns.
Go to the gun range.
Face your fears. That's another. Face your fears. Get therapy. A therapist can help walk you through some of these irrational fears. Yep. Whether it's spiders or fear of guns, whatever it is.
I don't recommend counseling and stuff very often, but in this case,
if you're afraid of an inanimate object, I can understand a little bit with critters and creatures, you know, because they move and they jump and they bite.
If you're so afraid, though, that you're seeing things,
I know,
then you might need help.
You know, that'd be that would be like if somebody threw, you know, a leaf on the ground and somebody thought it was a spider and called their pest control company. It's like it's a leaf.
You know
what?
It
wasn't a spider.
This is a little different, Roger, but this actually happened. Somebody, and I've done this many a times because I like bananas.
Oh, I do,
they're
too.
They're very healthy.
Yes.
And they're now, Roger, tasty. I've seen the way you eat a banana. You like it covered with chocolate sauce and ice cream.
Actually, I prefer it with strawberries, vanilla ice cream, right. And a little bit of ice in a blender.
In a blender. Now, I'm with you there. I do love a good smoothie.
That's the way I love my banana
strawberries. A smoothie's not a smoothie if it doesn't have strawberries and a banana.
That's right.
I don't really care what you put in it. I've had one of those weird greeny things that someone got and forced me to taste, and it was actually pretty good because it had strawberries and bananas in it. Absolutely, but I'll eat especially playing soccer. I'll eat bananas before.
Oh, for the potassium, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and they're biodegradable, the peeling and everything. It helps the earth, so I will toss the peel usually into the nearby woods that's by the parking lot.
Uh oh, like did you get in trouble?
No, I didn't. But this happened on a college campus. A student finished his banana and he threw the peel. The peel got hung up in a tree, and I guess he didn't see it because he probably threw it over his shoulder and he keeps going. Another student later that day freaked out and caused a panic because she said she was being attacked by racist people because somebody put a banana in a tree.
A banana peel.
A banana peel. Now, how low must your self-esteem be and how self-loathing must you be to see a banana peel in a tree and think somehow that's racist? Listen, don't ever go to a banana plantation.
Right.
Because exactly. I grew up as a kid.
Don't go to a grocery store.
Don't go to a grocery store.
Oh my God.
They got bananas there. As a kid, I had a grandfather who had banana plantations, so I got to see the bananas in the tree and the way they cut them down and the way they
grow upside down from the way you
grow upside down.
From what you would
Absolutely.
Think.
So,
we have a friend in Florida who has bananas at their house.
That's right. That's right. We do. He's got bananas and
I had, last time I went down there, he gave me 20 bananas.
That's a good reason. That's a good reason to go down there is to get some fresh bananas. This person had caused an all-out panic because she said she was being attacked racially because there was a banana peel. She said somebody purposely put that in there so she would be threatened. How in the F? And what makes a
I want to know what her thought process is.
Yeah, me too.
What is it about bananas?
Yeah.
Banana peels that cause her to feel racially threatened.
You have to be so self-loathing and so
down. Does she have a family full of garbage men and she feels threatened the fact that there's a banana peel in a tree?
Did she have a family member that slipped and hurt themselves on a banana peel? I don't know.
Maybe I could love to see her walk.
She has an irrational fear.
That's a phobia, yes. Banana phobia.
Of bananas in a tree.
Banana phobia.
Phobia.
Oh my God, that's insane.
I'll never forget that story. Yeah.
What about the NASCAR driver? Mm. Somebody tied a loop in the rope on the garage door to help pull it down.
So they could pull it down. And somehow this
idiot.
And it
had been there for over a year. And he thought it was a noose.
Because the Democrats told him, hey dude, you gotta look out for racism. So all of a sudden this dude, oh my gosh, it's a noose. What were they going to do? Hang his finger?
Yeah, the FBI was called in to investigate this, too. Do you remember
that?
And the
sad thing is they obliged him when they should have looked at him and said, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
And nobody has ever had a problem with that dude being in NASCAR.
No.
He created a problem himself.
Well, because he was losing.
Because he needed to draw attention to himself. He wanted to be famous. He wasn't on the Wheaties box because he wasn't good enough to be on the Wheaties box.
That's right.
So he did this and they put him on the Wheaties box.
And then they find out the loop had been there for over a year.
Yeah.
And nobody said any word about it. And all of a sudden he comes in there and decides, oh my God, it's a problem.
Oh my gosh, it's racist. Again, what were they going to do? Hang his finger?
Right. It wasn't like a rope. It was a damn piece of string that you pull a garage door down with. And they put a loop in it so you could just pull it with your hand easier.
And this guy,
the FBI did an investigation based on this.
Wasted taxpayer dollars so this guy could make himself famous in a bad way.
More like infamous.
Infamous, yeah. But the sad thing is he's what an idiot he was because NASCAR fans never had a problem with that guy being a NASCAR driver. In fact, he had a group of fans. Until he did that.
Yep.
And then they were like, you're an idiot.
He burned that bridge big time.
So he created a problem that the Democrats
where there was no
wished.
Problem, yes.
He created a problem where the Democrats wished there was a problem. And then he was able to create
right.
that problem.
But attacking somebody in a red hat is fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. Well,
hiring two black dudes to act like white dudes to fake beat you up, that apparently is fine.
Oh my God, that story. I mean, I was so scared. I was trembling. I couldn't. Oh wait, you hired these guys to beat you up, and you're afraid of them?
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't do that. Well, they just said you did.
He hired two dudes. And that's the crazy thing. He said they were white dudes.
And they weren't white dudes.
Yeah, I mean, these dudes were African dudes. I mean, they were really, truly from Africa.
They were dark, dark.
And, I mean.
Yeah, I know. It was insane.
This guy. Oh,
there were MAGA people.
I went to buy a sandwich from Blimpie's at 2 in the morning. Do you know of a Blimpie? Or was it Subway? One of those.
I would
first
do that,
of all, though. If you're eating one of their sandwiches, something's wrong with you. There's much better sandwiches out there.
Yeah, but I would still eat one.
And if you're in Chicago, the dude was in Chicago.
Oh, they have good sandwiches.
Chicago has
there.
Excellent sandwiches. I will tell you this. I don't like going to Chicago, but I will go to Chicago because of their sandwiches. Yes, I will go because of the sandwiches. And this guy, that was number one clue right there that he was making this crap up, because you don't go out at 2 in the morning.
First of all, what sandwiches open at 2 in the morning?
Well, if you're going to go, you don't go to
Subway. I wonder if they verified that that place was actually open.
Yeah, I bet that was their first key.
They probably went, wait a minute, that place closes at 10 o'clock at night. What were you doing at 1 a.m.?
Plus, it was sub-zero. It was in the dead of winter.
Oh, boy.
You don't go out.
Well, because, he did that in the dead of winter because there's no people out there, so there was no witnesses.
There was no witnesses.
So he can just make up whatever he wants.
His two hired guys,
MAGA hat wearing,
were ended up being the witnesses against him.
Oh
because
my gosh!
They, when they pressed them, they were like, "Well, shit, I don't want to lie. I'm not going to lie and get myself in trouble."
Yeah. So I mean, we thought he was just doing. Yeah, we thought he was doing like an act on TV or something. He was an actor.
He paid us to pretend beat him up.
Yeah, he was an actor, so you know. Maybe they thought he was just trying to get them involved in the movie business,
and they supposedly had MAGA hats. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Two big black dudes who live in the gym were just randomly out at 2 in the morning in sub-zero Chicago
wearing
MAGA hats. Yeah, that makes total sense.
No, not that they couldn't be wearing MAGA hats.
No, there probably are Trump supporters. I would believe that. I would believe
that. Well, after 3.5 years of Biden, there's a lot more MAGA supporters than there have been.
A lot more MAGA
supporters. Oh, in fact, I'm sure you mentioned this. $200 million.
So the total now for the month of May, $300 million plus. Never been done before.
Ooh, oh,
300.
My God.
And what I said on my show, the one thing that, you know, Trump has, he's getting black votes, he's getting Hispanic votes, he's getting more votes just in general. He's leading in swing states, he's leading in the polling. He's
now,
the only thing he didn't have was the money. But now, guess
now
what
he's
has?
Got the money.
Yeah.
And it's not over with yet. I'm sure.
It's not.
Before the
it's
end of this month, he's going to top $500 million.
You see $300 million in the month of May because of this conviction. Well, when they try to put him in jail, because anybody who thinks that Alvin Bragg and this judge is not going to try to put him in jail, it's going to be – he's going to get $500 million.
Or more.
Or more.
He's probably on his way to $500 million already.
I think so, but I think it's going to start over again, because I will tell you what. I hadn't donated, but I did. I donated after that.
Yeah, I'm going to. I haven't had time to, but I'm going to.
Be part of
it. I've already found the site. I'm going there.
Yeah, I sent it to you.
And I'm going to buy some signage, too.
I'm going to buy some signage. I'm going to buy a new T-shirt.
I mean, the last time he did, I bought a copy of his book.
Yeah. Yeah.
He autographed it, a copy of The Art of the Deal. Which, by the way, whether you like Trump or not, it is a great book.
Yeah, it's a good book.
It gives you really good advice on business negotiations and things like that.
And he knows what he's doing, but.
Well, yeah, because, a businessman doesn't want to start a war because it's not profitable.
Yeah,
it's not good for the economy.
Well, it's profitable for politicians. That's
right,
it.
But not for regular people.
For regular
and he
people.
Knows that because he's pretty much regular people.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, Roger, definitely make sure you donate.
Oh,
I encourage
I'm
everyone.
On my way.
But I'll tell you, if they give him the jail, they try to put him in jail, I'll donate again.
Yeah, and you know what? Somebody needs to send this Bragg guy a thank you note, because, I mean, if it wasn't for him, Trump's coffers would still be pretty empty, because, he's got the votes, but now he's getting the money.
He really, really was lagging in money, and Alvin Bragg just fixed that for Trump.
For him. He fixed it. He made him record-breaking fundraising.
And it's not going to – I don't think it's going to stop either.
Oh, it's still on a roll.
They're going to –
It was $200 million, I think, by the end of by Monday, and now it's up to $300 million.
Just from the conviction, it was $200 million, but when you put the rest of May in, $300 million plus.
Yeah, they said it was 24 hours, plus. It was like $54
million. $54
million in 24 hours.
Trump just broke, I think, three records, back to back to back.
Yep.
And it's not going to stop. I think it's great. Here's the thing you need to know about Bragg, Roger. You know, I don't remember when it happened.
He owns like 12 properties, 8 cars.
Oh, there's no telling.
He's worth like $100 million all on a public servant.
Salary. Right.
Yeah. And
all
he has
you need
no
to know
other
about,
source that they
all
can
you need
find
to know
this.
About this douchebag is there were just recently 2 NYPD cops were shot by Venezuelan illegal thugs. I guarantee you they will be out of jail in a hard... By a month's end, they'll be out of jail. But who is he trying to put in jail? Donald J. Trump.
Well, that's typical.
For a crime that he can't even spell out and
can't
say,
even
here's
justify.
The crime.
Yeah. They've
not
got
just
no crime.
Justify. They never determine the crime.
They have no charges,
they went
basically.
Through the court case with these charges for all these counts, but not a specific crime. And you are protected by, I think, the Sixth Amendment.
Crime has to have a victim.
You must show, yeah.
Who was the victim of this crime?
And the attorney general in New York. Look what she did. She got Trump in a civil case with no victim because of the Democrat judge. I mean, New York is messed up, but that's what they want to do for the rest of the country.
He didn't violate any laws.
No. There was no victim.
The judge judge appointed himself as real estate appraiser, banker,
tax assessor.
He's all these titles now that he's an expert
and jury,
in.
I mean, it's crazy. And look what the judge did even with the jury. He instructed them where they couldn't do anything but convict. It was crazy. But you know what? It'll be overturned. Like I said, for any of you wimps out there who call yourselves a Republican and say you can't vote for a convicted felon, he won't be a convicted felon as soon as this election is over, once the appeals court gets it or the Supreme Court.
Now wait, if he wins, can he pardon himself?
I don't think you can pardon yourself, but I hope he does. I hope he does it just to
I'm curious. Has there been any news on the vice presidential front?
Oh, you know, Roger, I'm glad you mentioned that because I wanted to talk about it today in my show, but I ran out of time. Best thing Trump could do now to flip the script on the Democrats, because they're all conviction this, conviction felon, he needs to announce his VP pick, and he needs to do it soon.
That'll keep his momentum going for fundraising and everything?
Absolutely, but it'll take the focus and put it on because – even if it's Nikki Haley or Tim Scott, which I'm starting to think Tim Scott is rising real quickly.
Is he? That would be great. Sarah Huckabee's not even on the radar, though, which I really wish she was.
She's very low on the radar.
Yeah.
I hope she's the pick. I hope that's why she will be the pick.
Because they're kind of keeping her under wraps. Yeah, she's on the DL, yo.
The point is, he needs to flip the script, make the announcement soon, because the Democrats, it doesn't matter if it's Nikki Haley, if it's Tim Scott, if it's Sarah Huckabee, they will go on an all-out destroy mission, and they will try to indict them as well. You watch.
Yeah. Oh, that would. Yeah.
They can't.
That's why he doesn't want to do it too soon. He doesn't want to give them too much time.
Maybe
to come
but
at
I think he
whoever
needs to.
It is.
I think he needs to. He needs to get this. The momentum is his, and he can really put the pedal down by announcing.
Well, I think he's got another couple of weeks of this momentum, especially the way it's going.
Well, that's what I mean.
People are, you
he
know,
needs to,
like
needs
me.
To
I'm lagging because I was busy this weekend. I didn't have time, but my goal this week is to donate money to.
Oh,
his
I'll
campaign.
Remind you. I'll
okay,
remind
I know you.
No,
will.
I think the next 2 weeks he's going to ride this, but I think that's when he needs to make the decision. So
to kind of move it another bump
when we hit July. VP pick. This is who it is.
Because I mean, I think Hillary.
Because the
Hillary outraised him like what 20-1.
Oh, she was way
and
more
she
money.
She still
than
lost.
Way,
big
and
time.
She lost because she was such a bad candidate. But now,
well, that's
now
you know, that says something for the American people that it doesn't only require money to win.
Yeah. Money doesn't get you elected. It'll help.
It'll help. We put out
and
ads
it'll
and try and get your message across.
Elected, but Trump needs money because of this lawfare. He really does need to remind the American people what the Democrat that everything they're accusing him of doing, they're doing.
Well,
he's going to need the money.
Isn't Hunter Biden going to?
Oh yeah,
court
dude. Anybody who thinks Hunter Biden's going to, and listen, it's the complete opposite. They started today, and the prosecution laid out there is no ambiguity. This is the charge. This is what we're seeking. This is what he did, and we're going to show you the evidence, and then you can decide. There's no ambiguity.
Right.
Exact opposite of what New
Trump.
York did.
Well, we think he did this, and this.
Yeah.
And, but
and
the bank said he didn't, but I think he did, so.
But the thing to remember is Hunter Biden is a Democrat, and he's never – if you think he's going to be convicted, and if he is convicted, he'll be pardoned. So there's nothing going to happen to Hunter Biden.
Maybe Trump can promise to pardon him if he gets elected.
What Trump should do – Trump should go ahead and come out. Maybe not yet. Save this one for later when the trial's over.
Give it another month or so,
And if he is convicted, he says, hey, don't worry, Hunter. I'll pardon you. I'll do the right thing.
Out of respect for the presidential family, I'm going to take care of you, buddy.
And he should.
But you need psychiatric help, and I'm going to dictate that be a necessity.
He should make a – that Roger, that's brilliant.
I know.
Brilliant, I tell you.
If I was available, Trump could hire me.
Brilliant.
I'm kind of busy right now. You know, it's just summertime, so, you know.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah, can you imagine him pardoning Hunter Biden? Joe could pardon him too, though.
Joe's going to do it. Biden's going to pardon him before he leaves office, promise you. Even if somehow that case is not solved or
gone through,
If it doesn't matter, he will pardon Biden.
He'll pardon Hunter for that, yeah.
Trump needs to, that's a great thing to do in the middle of summer.
He can just say he's going to do it.
Yeah, it's a great thing to do. Don't worry. I would do what's right in the respect of the presidency, the respect of the office, respect for families. I'll pardon you, but I do really hope you seek the appropriate help.
But he can stipulate. Great. I will pardon you with the stipulation that you get help for your addiction problem. There you go. That would be.
And you must recognize the daughter that you fathered that you're trying not to recognize.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
That would be great because you know what?
And you have to have a Trump sticker on your car until November 5th.
That would be – he really should. Trump needs to do that. He does. He does. 100%.
Yeah. I know it's kind of a publicity stunt, but
no,
it would be so great.
It's a smart stunt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not so much a stunt because he really could do it. I mean, he really could pardon this guy, and we know Biden's going to do it, but still, Trump could
say,
this is
what I would do. Now, what if he doesn't get convicted before Biden's out of office?
Biden can still pardon him. You can get a pardon without being convicted, and then basically your court.
So just kind of have the pardon sitting there like a get-out-of-jail-free card?
Yeah, they would probably end the case right there and just walk away from it. But you can be pardoned before. I'm almost positive I have that right. I'm sure Mark the Shark can verify it for me, but I'm pretty sure Biden could come out right now and pardon Hunter, and that whole case would probably
go away. But if he does that,
the prosecution rests.
Permission to treat the witness as a hostile witness.
Or if he issues a pardon now, I'll bet you the prosecution would go in tomorrow and go, Your Honor, the state would like to dismiss all charges.
Yeah, there you go.
State would like to dismiss all charges.
Oh, my God. So. Yeah, but imagine how he's going to look if he pardons him before it even goes to trial. Yeah, that would just be...
He can't. And then he'll wait and see what they do. Because they're not going to sentence him to jail. I promise you, he's a Democrat.
And he's the president's
son. But
he'll
still get pardoned. So
Time a president has been convicted of a felony?
It's the first time a president's been convicted of anything, and it's the first time that a president's son or daughter or has been convicted.
Have fallen a long way.
Or indicted.
Yeah.
And all this is Democrats' fault.
Now, Jimmy Carter had a rough time when he was president because he had his brother Billy. His brother Billy could use a couple diction lessons.
But the Republicans didn't go after him.
He wasn't running guns or anything or doing cocaine or dealing with underage girls. He was drinking too much beer and getting kind of loud.
Or taking bribe money from Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah,
all of these things he can pretty much. I mean, it's everybody knows.
Everything they accused Trump of, he's been doing.
He's been doing. That's what I said.
And they just said, that's the CIA mantra. Yeah. Admit nothing, deny everything, make counter-accusations. That's exactly
what they're doing. 100%.
They're following that mantra to a T.
Yep.
And that's where they're going to go with this. They're going to try and blame Trump for everything that Hunter and Joe did.
Accusations, and absolutely 100%.
Let's give the big guys 10%. Yeah.
Yeah. It's obvious, but. Anyway,
that's crazy.
I need to move on, Roger. I'm sure you got some gun stuff to talk about.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to cover the hoplophobia because
was a great.
Be aware of hoplophobia; it's out there.
Yeah, because if you carry, like many of us do,
and if your gun shows, if someone freaks out, sometimes
I have to reach for the high thing on the aisle. Most of the time, yes, Roger.
Oh,
and sometimes my gun might show.
I have something for you while you're here.
All right. I'm gonna
run this by you and let you know what's going on. I saw this and I thought, you know what? Just found out. Short people consume less food, require less clothing material, and a larger number of them can fit on Earth. They're basically eco-friendly and sustainable.
So I should get a tax rebate.
That's right. You need a tax break.
I should get a tax break because I'm eco-friendly.
And a sustainable human.
I am a sustainable human. Roger, you have to send me that. That is going to be my show next week.
It'll be your mantra.
I am a sustainable human.
I am eco-friendly because I'm
eco-friendly,
smaller.
And I deserve a tax break.
That's
a sustainable
right.
Because
you use less material in your clothes. You consume less
it's like,
raw materials.
You remember the Expendables?
Yeah.
What did Jet Li say? I need more money. Why do you need more money? Because I have to try harder.
Because I have to put forth more effort. My steps are not as big as yours.
My steps are not as big as yours, boy. Damn straight.
Yep.
I need more money. Yeah, I need a tax rebate because that's I'm right. eco-friendly and I'm sustainable.
That's right. Exactly. I thought you'd like to hear about
that. I love
that.
That's awesome.
Give you a little
bonus. You got to send me that.
And people who call you short say, oh, you mean there's not enough of me? You want more?
You want more?
There you go.
Well, there's plenty of people that don't want more of me.
Yeah, I know. Me neither. But, you know, yeah. yet here we are.
Here we are. Sustainable me. I love it.
Yep. So if someone accuses you of not being green, you can fire right back at them.
I'm more green than most people.
You big galoot.
I'm not even average height.
You're sucking down really twice as much oxygen as
yeah,
I am.
you're spitting out way more carbon. Your carbon footprint is huge.
My carbon footprint and my footprints are smaller than yours.
And my steps.
That's right.
My carbon footprint, my footprint, and my steps.
So eco-friendly.
Oh, my goodness. Who knew?
I just found out this week.
This is beautiful. I
had
can't
to bring
wait.
That to your attention because then you'd be able to use that.
Oh, I'm using this everywhere. Starting now.
All right.
Okay, Victor.
I'm out.
Go be eco-friendly outside the station.
Woo-hoo.
Well, I'm glad we got that settled and we realized, see, people at America's Web Radio are trying to be eco-friendly, especially On Point with Victor. He is being eco-friendly because he is smaller than average. But it doesn't mean he isn't better than average, but he is just smaller, so he's more sustainable. And speaking of sustainable, I'm going to jump right to California, because California usually is the place where a lot of ridiculous things happen or things develop there that shouldn't happen anywhere else, but yet it does. So, now California for years has had what they call the gun roster. Now the gun roster was designed to basically eliminate handgun sales from taking place in California. They were trying to eliminate California citizens from being able to buy handguns. And how they did this was they put requirements on gun manufacturers to manufacture things that were essentially impossible. They put impossible restrictions on how they had to manufacture pistols in California in order to meet restrictions. You had to have a micro stamping technique built into the pistol that would stamp it with, in two distinct places, would stamp the shell casing with a completely individual marking for each particular pistol. And a judge finally shot that down. That was Bolin versus Bonta. And they shot down the fact that you have to have micro-stamping on guns. Now, California still has some other safe gun requirements. I'm putting that in air quotes, by the way. Now, most of them are pretty standard. Like, they have, you must have a loaded chamber indicator, visual and tactile. Tactile means you have to be able to feel it. If you're in a dark room, you can rub your finger over a certain part of the gun and tell, okay, it's sticking out a little bit. There's a round in the chamber. Visual, if it's daytime, you should be able to look at it and see there's a red stripe, green stripe, whatever color that usually on the extractor that will show you the gun is loaded. And that's one of their things. There's a couple other little things. I don't believe they have magazine disconnect safeties because those are horrible. And a lot of times they push those on law enforcement weapons, which is kind of ridiculous. And California, I'm just reading that now. They must have a chamber load indicator and a magazine disconnect mechanism and micro stamping. See, the magazine disconnect is when the magazine's out of it, the gun cannot fire. So you become vulnerable if you're ever changing magazines. Or if your magazine becomes lost from the gun, it becomes useless. Now, I've had a weapon like this before, and I took it to my local smith. He was able to make it a regular weapon and take care of the magazine disconnect safety. And it must have micro-stamping. Now, the micro-stamping was the big deal because micro-stamping was impossible. They said the technology's not there to have an individual marking put on each shell casing by a particular gun every time it was fired. And that was their provision. And that's why there were no guns added to the gun roster in California for almost, I think it was almost 15 years they had this in place. But now they have eliminated the micro-stamping requirement because they realize it's an impossible dream to try and do this with a weapon. It's silly. Plus, it opened up a whole new list of crimes. A guy going to a range, a pistol range, could collect shells and scatter them at crime scenes all over the city and get other people in trouble. It'd be very easy to frame somebody. But so that's something that they finally decided the micro-stamping was unreasonable. It was impossible to do. It was a pipe dream requirement. All right, I'm going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about this a little more. I'm going to tell you what the results of the micro-stamping elimination has been to the guns available to California. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
If you have lost a loved one and were left with a firearms collection and are not sure how to dispose of them safely, or you may have firearms you no longer want, this message is for you. I am a licensed FFL firearms dealer in the state of Florida, specializing in estate firearm purchases. It is very important that all firearm transactions be handled according to state and federal laws. You can contact me for information at firearmliquidationservice@outlook.com. Or you can call or text me at 407-921-8100 24/7 and ask for James. Again, for information, contact me at firearmliquidationservice@outlook.com or call or text me at 407-921-8100. All communications are strictly confidential.
What will Victor say next? Find out every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on the On Point with Victor show, only on America's Web Radio.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. Right before we left for the break, I was talking about California and their roster and their micro-stamping requirement, which has been eliminated. So now, the biggest, I guess, speed bump from people introducing new guns or manufacturers introducing new guns to California has been eliminated. And what this has done is opened up the floodgates for, now these guns still have to be approved by California, but the micro-stamping requirement is no longer one of the requirements that they're allowed to enforce. Just having a magazine, disconnect safety, and a loaded chamber indicator, a lot of those are found on guns all the time anyway. It's not that big a deal. Some of those things can be added, some of those things. Most weapons have a loaded chamber indicator of some sort, whether it's tactile or visual. I think there has to be both, but I don't have that here, so I'm not sure. But, you know, it also has a chamber loaded indicator. So on most weapons, that will be on the extractor, and that will stick out of the right side where the barrel meets the bolt. You'll feel a little bit of a rise when the extractor sits on the back end of the case. It will stick out just enough from the frame of the gun to be able to feel it. And you can tell whether it's loaded or not by feeling that. So, and that's on almost every modern pistol has that as a safety feature. So that's not going to be a big deal. And the magazine disconnect mechanism, that can be added relatively inexpensively. And a lot of guns are going to have this, you know, they'll have to add it into their weapons or, you know, modify them in somehow. But most of it's a fairly easy modification, unlike the micro-stamping, which was impossible for gun manufacturers to come up with. They could have devised a way to do it, but guns would have been thousands upon thousands of dollars for a gun worth a few hundred dollars. But what this is going to do, it's going to open up the ability of Californians to purchase all these weapons that have been off the market for the past 15 or so years. And what that's going to do is give them access to weapons in the 21st century, newer things. And there were some odd things that had happened because of this California rule. Like Glock, for instance, never stopped making their third generation pistols because those were the only Glocks that were legal in California. So they kept making them, even though normally they would have just shut that down, moved on to Gen 4 or 5. And I think Gen 4s are now going to be legal in California, although I don't know if they're going to push for Gen 5s to be legal yet. They have to submit them for testing and get them tested and all that stuff. Now, rimfires, semi-autos, do not have to have a chamber-loaded indicator, which is odd, but still, it's there. But now with, okay, now where's my list? I have a list of stuff that's going to come out. It's going to be available in California that's never been available in California before because of the micro-stamping requirement. Now, a lot of these guns are guns that have come out within the last 10 or 15 years and have never been available in California because of the micro-stamping requirements. And now that that's gone, all these companies are submitting guns to be admitted. They have to be vetted by the state of California in order to be sold in California. They still have some weird requirements that they have to inspect. Every model of gun that comes in has to be inspected independently and be approved. Once it's approved, it's allowed for sale in gun stores and, you know, gun resellers in California. And we're going to start the VP9s, the Heckler & Koch VP9, VP9 SK, VP9L, all a bunch of VP9 variants have just been added to the list of available weapons. And I know somebody was looking to add one of those to their collection. Well, now you can. That is going to become available, all the HK VP9s. So, and that is a phenomenal weapon that's been unavailable to California until now. And it's been out for probably almost, what, 7-8 years already. It's been out for years, and now it's just becoming available to California. The Sig Sauer M18, which is basically the military version of the SIG 320. And the SIG 320, the SIG P365, all these are going to become available in California now. And these are some guns that are going to be, I guess, very desirable because California still has its 10-round magazine limit. And that limit goes in and out of legality depending on the way the wind's blowing and what the courts are deciding on that particular day. There was a week or so that they called Freedom Week, where everyone in California was allowed to purchase whatever kind of magazine you wanted, whatever capacity, for 1 week. And as long as it was ordered during that 1 week, it could be shipped anytime after that. And those are considered legal magazines. And they shipped in, I think I tell you this all the time, about 1.4 million magazines that they can count. There's probably more than that, because a lot of people probably had magazines that now they can use again because they're legal. Now, of course, magazines were grandfathered in if they were manufactured prior to 1994. So since 94, California has not been able to have any magazines with more than 10 rounds. For a brief week, they were able to get those squeaked in, and now I think it's under restriction again until another court case goes to finalization. But all the guns will be available, and like a SIG P365 is a 10-round capacity. A Smith & Wesson Shield Plus, which is a fairly new gun. It's only been out for a couple of years. It's available in California now. And the Model 2.0 and the Compact. Smith & Wesson Shields, Compacts, and 2.0s are going to be available in California now, the M&Ps. So Smith & Wesson M&Ps were not available until now. Now they're available. And the Shield Plus is another subcompact gun that holds 10 rounds in the magazine. Now, they do make 12-round magazines for it, but those will not be available in California. Although, I would think if I had one, I would put a block in it to block off the 2 rounds and use it because it has an extender where your pinky finger fits on it very well. But the Shield Plus is a great subcompact gun, as well as the SIG P365. And the Springfield Armory Hellcat is another one that's been submitted, tested, and is now available to be sold in California. So these are all premium carry weapons, although the carry situation in California is still in a bit of a flux there after the New York case saying that a state cannot have a may issue attitude towards issuing permits because that violates Second Amendment rights. But California still, I think, is falling under this may issue situation. So I don't know when they're going to have to start getting rid of that. Of course, they fought it tooth and nail in New York, and they're still slow tracking everything to the point of stagnation in New York because they don't want people to have carry permits there. Which I don't know why, when you allow criminals that much leeway and that much freedom, the only way to defend yourself is to do it yourself, because policemen are not going to be everywhere. I tell people I carry a gun because a cop is too heavy. So keep that in mind. Okay, back to the list real quick. Springfield Armory, the new Echelon 9mm full-size pistol is going to be available in California. PSA, Palmetto State Armory, they developed a Glock-compatible pistol of sorts, and it's compatible with Glock magazines and a lot of Glock-specific parts, but at a much lower price. The PSA Dagger, Palmetto State Armory Dagger, is now legal in California. The CZ, the P10, and the Shadow 2, both legal in California now. The Beretta APX will be available, and the PX4 Compact. Two Berettas are going to be available in California now. And some sort of Canik subcompact. I don't know which model. I don't know which one it is, but one of the Caniks has got released into California now. And they're a company that's had been up and coming, and they really hadn't released anything in the U.S. prior to this micro-stamping requirement in California. So it'll be the first time Californians will be able to get their hands on Caniks. And some of the new Caniks that are coming out are outstanding from what I've seen. And then what else we got? A Gerson MCP-35, which it's just a aftermarket version of a Browning High Power. Shadow Systems DR-920, which is basically an upgraded version of a Glock 19, has a lot of extra features on it, slide cuts, better sights, better grip texturing, and it's more money than a Glock. Now, the Glock will be available, I think, in Gen 4s are going to become available in California soon also. And some of the MOS with the slide cutouts for optics are going to become available. So it's just, there we go. Oh, and Glocks, compensated Glocks, previously rostered, there's going to be some sort of 2011 that somebody's going to bring out. Now, Staccato has not said they were going to bring out. They're probably one of the largest producers of 2011s. And the Springfield Army didn't decide to get their Prodigy put through the testing, as far as I know. They have not decided to try and get that one passed to sale in California, mostly because it's a 14-round magazine. Or no, with the 9mm, it's like an 18 or 20-round magazine. And they'd have to create 10-round magazines to fit in a 2011. And the whole purpose of having a 2011 is to have a higher capacity. A standard 1911 will hold in 9mm between 8 and 11 rounds anyway. So you're not really going to gain any advantage by bringing in a 2011. Except for maybe if you want a newer style of a 1911. A little thicker grip or the capability of having high capacity mags. If that restriction ever goes away, or if you happen to have 2011 magazines from something you purchased during Freedom Week, then you can buy these guns and use those magazines in that. Now, a weird thing about that is that when magazines came in during Freedom Week, the rest of the country, except for a few minor exceptions, had no restrictions on magazines. There was no federal restriction on magazines. So most magazine manufacturers don't label them with any kind of date code or any kind of manufacturer's mark to indicate when they were made. So you can't really tell when they were manufactured. It's up to California to decide whether or not they're going to assume it came into the state during that time period. And there was one case where somebody had magazines that were higher capacity than what California normally allows. The person said they claimed they got them during Freedom Week, and apparently there were no charges filed. He didn't get in any trouble for having them. So apparently that's the way that's going to go. Higher capacity magazines will be able to be gotten away with, air quotes again, if they came in during Freedom Week, or the claim was they were ordered or came in during Freedom Week. All right, let's get back to my list real quick. Smith & Wesson stuff, more of that's coming. Maybe a 5.7. Oops. Maybe a 5.7 Smith will be coming in. We're not sure yet which ones, but some of the other semi-autos may be coming in from Smith & Wesson. And they said, and there's somebody listed something, some other surprise from HK. I don't know what that's going to be, unless they're coming out with something new that would benefit from, a magazine of 10 rounds. And here's one that was very exciting. A lot of people got worked up about this one. The High Point Yeet Cannon 9mm will be available soon. Maybe some FNs. Nobody knows for sure. Now, here's some links to suggest. These are just suggestions that these guns will not be coming into California or will not be submitted for testing. One of them is the Gen 5 Glocks, the Glock 43X. The 2011 Prodigy and TRP, The 1911 is a TRP. The Prodigy is a 2011 from Springfield Armory. Those will not be coming in, as far as they know. This is some. I guess somebody came up with this. Any metal Berettas, like the old 92 or 92 variants, will probably not. Nothing new will be coming into California if it wasn't already on the previous variant. And now there will be some optics ready variants of the M&P and the SIG that may or may not be coming in. The P365 and 380, not likely to be coming in, although I don't know why. That'd be a perfect carry gun. But again, California has limited carry permits, so it kind of eliminates the purpose of that. And somebody for some reason has the FN509 as being on the list of things probably not coming in. And some of the Walthers, although, well, there was a list here recently of stuff that was just recently added. The Walther P22 is actually legal now. So that's going to be one that's available, along with the Springfield Armory ones. Those just got approved, like, within the last month. So that's going to be great for California. All of a sudden, you're going to have all these new choices available in the gun cabinets that have not been available for over a decade. So if you have any interest in purchasing a handgun, look to see if it's on your roster list, because it's still a complicated situation there, because until it's on the roster as being a legally possessed gun in California, it will not be allowed to be sold in California, and it has to be submitted for testing. Basically, they inspect it and make sure it has the other two requirements that California requires for a pistol to be sold in the state. And once they meet those other two specifications, it's going to be easy to start getting more and more guns in and submitting them for testing, especially if they think the volume of sales is there to justify submitting a model to be able to be tested. And the crazy thing is, every model, no matter how different it is, counts as a different model to California, and they have to test each one independently. So if there's a Hellcat and a Hellcat OSP, both of those must be tested. The one without the slot, without the optics cutout, and the one with the optics cutout. They have to be tested as two separate models. Why, you ask? It's the same gun, but with an optics cutout? That's California for you. No rhyme nor reason to that. Well, they want to make it more difficult, too. They're not trying to make this easy. So they still have limitations, but it looks like a lot of manufacturers are buckling down and saying, you know what, we're going to submit it for testing, we're going to get them out there, we're going to get them sold. Californians are going to be able to own guns made in this century, which is going to be fantastic for people in California. I wish I could find what year that went into effect. I can't remember, but it's been, like I said, it's been a long time. But it's going to be great. So you people in California, if you wanted a new gun, oh, since 2013... So it's been 11 years since that's been in effect. So now all of a sudden all these new guns have come out since then. And a lot of guns, even though they were manufactured prior to that, may not have been sold in California, or they didn't want to submit guns to get put on the roster. So some of those will still not be available even if they were manufactured prior to 2013. Now the crazy thing is, once they upgrade a model or change a model in the slightest bit, it goes off the registry and has to be resubmitted for testing. Again, California's trying to make it as difficult as possible to buy a handgun. But this is a huge step forward as far as freedom goes. This is going to help people in California be able to get more modern weapons, weapons that they before were untouchable, and not be running guns that are over a decade old in design and features and things like that. You're going to be able to get modern handguns, and it's going to be easy to get them now because they're going to be available for sale without any kind of restriction other than whatever restriction California puts on anything. Now, I don't know whether any of the rifle caliber pistols will be allowed in California. I know that was an issue. They did not allow pistol braces, from what I understand. Even though it's a variation of a pistol, they were classifying them more like rifles. So that's probably, and of course, they want to limit things any way they can, and this is one way they're going to try and limit that. So just be aware of that when you go shopping for your guns. I don't think you're going to be able to get rifle caliber pistols. And these are most popular in an AR-15 or even an AK variant. They run pistol versions of these, and they're basically just short-barreled rifles with a pistol grip on them. Now, with the advent of the pistol brace, they become much more usable, much safer, and much easier to handle properly. And that's something that's still in a state. Right now, everything has been cleared, and you can have a pistol brace, you can buy a pistol brace, and you can own it. However, previous to this, just recent court cases, all pistol braces had to be either handed in for destruction, destroyed on your own, and could not be possessed. Whether you own the weapon or not, you could not possess the pistol brace unless you registered it in the first 120 days of the year, which I think ended in April. Yeah, January, February, March. The end of April was a 120-day period. If you didn't register it as a short-barrel rifle by that time, then it became illegal and subject to destruction or handing in. But then the court case overturned that, and now they're legal again for the meantime until that case gets before another judge or moves on through the court system. Hopefully it goes up to the Supreme Court, and they knock it down saying you can't restrict them in that way. That it's just – it's because the ATF allowed these to be sold for, I believe, almost 14 years, and over 40 million of them were in civilian hands. And then they changed their mind, backtracked on it, and are telling people, if you own this, it's illegal, you're violating federal law, you can be arrested, your weapon can be destroyed, after telling people it was legal for 13 years. So, I mean, that's, to me, is a violation of a law for sure, to tell people you can buy it and then turn around and tell them in the next breath, oh, we changed our mind, the last 13 years doesn't count, you don't get to keep those. And they have no plans to grandfather these in. That's the crazy part. Even if you had this thing for 10 years and you had been using it as dictated or as you want to and doing nothing wrong with it, you still would be required to hand this gun in. Now, if it's built into the weapon, then that whole weapon becomes illegal. And if you can't, if it can't be removed and the weapon function without it, then you're going to have to hand in or destroy that entire weapon. Now, that's kind of crazy that they're doing this without any kind of compensation. They're not offering to buy these weapons. You just have to destroy them or hand them in with no compensation. And that, again, is going to be a point of contention because that's not legal in this country. You can't have something legal one day, illegal the next, and then not take it away through some sort of compensated, you know, approach. You can't just say, oh, we're going to just take those away now because we changed our minds on how we look at those. It's not something that should be able to happen here. But that's what they're looking at right now. People in almost any state that allows pistol braces are looking at possibly the federal government coming in and deciding you can't have these anymore and you have to hand them in, remove them from a weapon, or destroy the part that's on the weapon and make it not part of that particular weapon anymore. And if you can do that, then you can keep the weapon and it has to be either turned into a rifle or kept as a pistol without a brace on it. Now, the whole idea of having a rifle caliber pistol without a brace is crazy because they're not as safe as having a brace on it. It makes them less accurate, makes them less safe, harder to control, harder to use accurately. So they're basically putting people in more danger by eliminating these pistol braces, making it harder for people to shoot them straight, shoot them accurately, which can cause a multitude of problems. When you can't shoot your weapon straight or shoot it easily and it's difficult to control, that's just a recipe for disaster. So hopefully this court case will come to an end with the ATF backing down on their position and enabling people to keep whatever pistol braces they purchased, purchase new ones if they want, and keep them on guns as if nothing else is a safety feature to make them more accurate, have less problems aiming and being able to hit your target. Because any gun that doesn't hit his target, to me, is a problem. That is an unsafe weapon. Now, personal marksmanship is a whole nother story, but if you can have something to make a gun more effective or easier to shoot more accurately, I would think that's what everybody would be after. Why do you want a gun that doesn't shoot accurately? That makes it so much more dangerous. And it seems like the federal government's not concerned about the danger of these weapons when they're not braced properly. Now, granted, you could still use them without a brace, but it's a lot more difficult. And it makes it easier, it makes it more effective, and it makes it safer. So I'm hoping they come down on the side of the pistol braces, rule in favor of these, and keep those around. And then meanwhile, in California, you guys are opened up to a whole new list of new weapons that you can own. Now, for those of you who are in California and are interested in other weapons, Now would be the time to start doing your research, start looking around, see what you're looking for, double check it to make sure it's on the roster. And you can ask people in free states if they have recommendations for you. You know, and I wonder, any good pistol ranges in California will start getting these new weapons in their rental cases to be able to allow you to rent them to try them out. So that'll be something that I'd like to see. So that way you can make a decision, and it'll help the gun stores make more money too. Because if they have these guns available for rental, you'll be able to decide which one or ones you want to buy. And that's the ultimate goal of any business, is to sell product, provide a good quality product at a fair price, and have customers want to purchase it from you. So hopefully the gun stores will take advantage of this, these new guns that are recently coming onto the roster that are legal now, and they'll be able to enable citizens of California to see for themselves whether it's something that they want to get. And like I say, a lot of these guns on this list are phenomenal weapons, and to think that you Californians have been suffering without them for over a decade is sad to me. But now that they're available, you're going to get a whole list of new things. I'm just trying to look over this list real quick. Like I say, the VP9 is one that's just outstanding. And also the P365 SIG, the Springfield Hellcat Pro, and the Smith & Wesson Shield Plus. All of those are excellent variations of compact weapons that are easy to handle, shoot straight, easy to control, and still hold 10 rounds or possibly more in other states. But these are their standard versions of these, mostly around 10 rounds. So you have that variation to be able to hold 10 rounds in the smallest possible package and still be a reasonable sized gun to handle and control. Because that's usually the problem with subcompacts. They're usually so small, the grips are so small, they're hard to hold on to, they're hard to shoot straight. And it's difficult to work with them. But these three in particular, I saw those on the list right away. Now the Beretta PX4, another compact version, whatever version of Canic they bring in a compact or subcompact, is going to be another one to consider. You know, it's just, and there's a bunch of full-size stuff coming in also. Like say, a lot of the newer Glocks and a Gen 4 are going to be coming in. And a lot of these are just upgraded weapons though. Stuff that, there's versions of them out there, but they haven't been able to bring them to market in California because they're newer. And if they eliminated the old version of that gun would fall off the roster, or it'd still be on the roster as being able to be purchased. But if the manufacturer's not making anymore, it doesn't make much difference. But to buy a currently manufactured weapon and be able to do that and buy these newer versions, it's something. I have a feeling there's going to be a huge surge in pistol sales in California as more and more of these weapons get out onto the market. As they become available in your local gun stores, more and more people are going to see them and see the increases, the leaps in technology we've made in the past decade to make guns more comfortable, more effective. And granted, a lot of them are capacity driven, like with the SIG and the VP9. Actually, the VP9 originally came out with a 15-round magazine in their full-size version. And after a couple of years, people were complaining, how come it doesn't match the Glock 17 being a bigger gun? Although it's closer in size to a Glock 19, in my opinion. They bumped the magazine capacity of a VP9 up to 17 now. But you people in California are still going to be limited to the 10-round capacity. And because HK has sold these in other states with 10-round magazines, the 10-round magazines are readily available. So that's not going to be a problem. And the Hellcats, I think, come with 10-round mags, as do the Beretta PX4 and the Shield Plus. So those will be things you want to look for. All right, California, get out there. Make us proud. Go ahead, buy some new pistols, buy some that just recently got put on the list. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you've been listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.